Carrie mentioned that there was some work being done that suggests that you may still be contagious for a much longer period of time than 14 days, maybe for as long as 60 days.
We've been
studying that. A little bit.
Sure. No, thank you.
If it really is 60 days and people aren't self-quarantining beyond, let's say, 14 days, are we, as a society, at risk?
I think we just don't know enough, and I don't want to hand wave. I think we need to get the data and see. There are some people that have become immune, and they are immune to getting any more symptoms, and we are looking at this at Stanford now long-term. We have a number of health workers that we're looking at now, so we're only as good as our data. And that data can change on a weekly basis, daily basis. So all of you on the phone and those people that have participated, I think we've all mentioned that this is really a rapidly changing field, and we want to understand. But I have a lot of hope that new data will be coming out. But to answer your questions, we still need to understand about viral shedding. But I do think some people are becoming immune effectively and going negative permanently. And so we've seen that. For those people that have not, we're trying to understand why those people have not. And was it genetics? Was it viral load in the very beginning? So there are people that have become immune, and that's hopeful. But we also need to understand why some people have not and why some people are still shedding virus.
In the sample of 5,000 people that we studied at Mount Sinai, we have actually done titers and tested them at the same time for nasopharyngeal shedding. And essentially, it's almost zero by 21 days after symptom onset and completely zero at 28 so far, but it's in 5,000 patients. And about 90% of the people with confirmed COVID had high titers. So I do think the evidence will be out relatively soon, and that the shedding of virus, or at least the particles of virus at 14 days, may or may not still be infectious, but I think we're all in a cautious phase of this. And even so cautious as to say that even with high titers of IgG in the blood of people who are recovered, we cannot guarantee that reinfection is not possible. So I agree completely with Sherry. There's so much that's unknown, but I think we are starting to see patterns that suggest that by the time the virus is disappearing, that the immunoglobulins are rising, certainly by 21 to 28 days.
Yeah, and I sent some figures, Larry. Feel free to send those out if you'd like. That's a global figure of what the data shows so far.
Carrie, Michael pointed out that there is some substantial errors in testing with regards to a false positive for antibodies. And so when that study, the Santa Clara study, showed that approximately 5% of the population had antibodies, what is your sense, or do you have any sense of what part of that portion are probably fake, are false positives?
I totally agree with Michael. These are statistical principles that we have to be extremely careful about how to interpret data. And when you have a false positive rate of 2 out of 401, I know that seems really low maybe to the average person, but to a statistician, that's pretty high in terms of margin of error. And so that's what makes us worried, that a large proportion of the people that were positive in this test that was published recently in Santa Clara County, a large proportion of those people that were positive could have been falsely positive. And so we have to be very careful. But all this is to say that articles like that are important. People trying to understand seroprevalence is important. The activity alone is important, but it's also important to know how to interpret the test and be very cautious. And I do believe it will be a catalyst by which other places will now hopefully use better tools. But I don't think there's going to be an absolutely perfect tool, like Michael said. We're always going to have to be in a situation where we're going to be careful about interpreting. And as we get more data, like Dr. Reich said, hopefully it'll be published soon and we'll understand about, for any individual person, what the test meant for them and their outcome. And that's going to be important to understand and to be able to manage patients and to help people.